Gamers. This is Lamer Travis and
Rowdy 5000
for the Lamer Gamers Podcast, and we are back for episode 2 of the 4th season, and it's been a while. We were just really busy and not on like a super secret mission to save the world, and you know,
we can't talk about that. They'll hear us there. They're listening.
They are. But you mean we can't talk about the covert operation where you managed to take on the world?
What Travis is trying to say is we've had a really insane year, getting back from pandemic life, and you know, haven't really had time to do an episode.
It's in the water. Don't drink the water. Stop trying to keep the truth in.
Now, there's been a lot going on since we've been gone, but we're going to pretend that none of that has happened and try to focus on the last couple of weeks of gaming news for the news roundup.
I'm okay.
In today's episode, we're going to do a short news roundup where we'll talk about a few things that are going on that we find interesting, such as, you know, the new Pokemon Scarlet and Violet
Purple
announcement.
Sorry.
Well, they couldn't call it Red and Purple because they already have a Red.
Oh, yeah.
And they've remade the Red. And they've re-remade the Red. So, well, I guess technically that was a
true
remake of Yellow. It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Xbox also announced a slew of games coming out within the next year. And Last of Us was remastered.
But didn't they already re-release it or something like that?
Well, actually,
it's a
ground up remake for the PS5.
Just tell me about it in simpler words later when we get further in the show.
Okay. Then we'll talk about some other announcements such as Dragon's Dogma 2 and Final Fantasy games. It's gonna take a little explaining.
What's up with these companies that are just releasing? Re-release? I guess they're trying to make money anyway.
It's technically a revisioning the Final Fantasy VII series.
I'm going to get actually by Rowdy the entire podcast. I see what the art's going to be for this episode.
Probably so.
All right, then after that, after the news roundup, we'll have a special review bombs where we'll read only the best organic, absolutely pure, possibly even pescatarian, and gluten-free zero-star reviews of Diablo Immortal in all its glory.
Chef's kiss.
These are going to be glorious. They are, oh man, they're rough. If you've listened to our review bomb segment, you know what you're in for. If you don't, you're in for a time. Then we'll end the episode with our new segment, Games We're Hyped About, followed by, one old segment, Games We've Been Playing. All this and more on the Lamer Gamers Podcast. Rowdy, cue the music.
All right, so for the news roundup today, we're going to talk about, let's start with Nintendo.
Pokemans.
The only thing we've really got for it right now is, you know, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, which looks like it might be a dramatically different Pokemon. We found a few articles, you know, maybe speculating on what it is, but what we can gather from the video and the articles that we've seen is, it's multiplayer and
cool.
Then open world, I guess, kind of, possibly.
So I'm seeing on their website, they're saying Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet, freaking purple, offer an open world experience that only the Pokemon series can deliver. One welcoming even to newcomers. They say that junk every time. It's basically the new style of adventure. So I know the last game they tried to be more open world, like Sword and Shield, right?
No, so Pokemon Arceus is where they tried to go
Arceus.
Very open world. So
did you play that?
Yeah.
Good?
It was really fun, but I got sidetracked by some other games that might have been around the time that I finally got my Xbox Series X. Oh, my God! We need to talk about that!
Howdy got a Series X, and he has played probably more than I have.
A lot. But yeah, we'll go into that later. I think it was around that time. So I probably got about 5, 6, 7 hours into it and then kind of tapered off because I had a shiny new box.
The new box is very nice. It's large.
But Arceus was really fun from what I played. I mean, it was literally, you know, third person. Mm-hmm. And then you go basically into an over-the-shoulder mode when you try and fire a Pokeball at a Pokemon to capture them. Which in the video for this Scarlet and Violet. Mm-hmm. It looks like you may be able to catch Pokemon that same way.
I want an emo version of this, like an expansion called Silver and Cold. And it's going to be released by AFI.
I hate you.
There's like two people listening that know what the heck I'm talking about.
But
emo.
Pokemon. Yeah, so it looks like there's going to be, you know, different biomes and stuff, just like most of them. Mm-hmm. The starters look absolutely ridiculous, but who cares about those starters? Everybody is in love with the new pig Pokemon, Lechonk.
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 Oh, man. Yeah, Lechonk is an interesting one. Super simple design. If you have not seen Lechonk yet, it is, well, I tried to search for it. Granted, I'm on DuckDuckGo, but Lechonk is a pig with, I guess, it looks like tears. Little design underneath its eyes, but everybody loves Lechonk. So it has taken over the world. Now, whenever I typed in Lechonk into a search engine, it shows a bunch of cats and seals, which makes me happy. Anyway.
You know what? Lechonk is going to be the new Lady Dimitrescu.
Oh, yeah. Took me a second to remember what that was, but yeah.
Just hopefully not as thirsty as everybody got.
God, I hope not.
Lady D.
That's we're not going there, Rowdy. Definitely not going there. All right, yeah. So I wish I could talk about the new Kirby game, but I haven't played it.
I haven't either. I wanted to get it, but again, like I'm so far behind in my back catalog. Like I just got on a new work schedule. Well, I say just, but just getting used to a new work schedule. And I finally have time to play some games, but dude, I'm just so far behind. Like I never even got Dying Light 2, which was one of the games I really wanted to play this year, but apparently it's awful.
Oh, the new Dying Light?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything too good or bad, which means probably bad. But yeah, I was really looking forward to Kirby. And it's been a game that I've really wanted to play. It's Kirby 3D Open World Goodness.
I've played the demo.
I haven't even played the demo. This is how bad the box has gotten me, Rowdy. I haven't even played the freaking demo for a game I've wanted since I was a little kid. And there's just so much stuff on Game Pass. They throw stuff at you. You just turn around and you get knocked in the back of the head and they're just trying to make you eat it. So speaking of that, just force feeding everybody, let's go into what Xbox just announced. And So they had this big show.
The Xbox Bethesda Showcase.
And the thing that's crazy is it's all stuff coming out within the next year.
Bethesbox?
Are we Bethespians? That's like an actor. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, so we're not going to try to even read everything that's on there. Just go and look at everything that was announced. But there's DLC. There's Forza Horizon 5, Hot Wheels that looks interesting. New Sea of Thieves stuff actually looks pretty legit.
You could become a captain of your ship.
Heck yeah.
You know what? I know this sounds terrible because like I know that Sea of Thieves was built to be a multiplayer game. I want some single player stuff.
I do too. Like that is a game that I want to be able to just wander.
Like it's my favorite multiplayer game of all time. Mm-hmm. But like there's really not much to it. And me and what little friends I have as an adult don't have a schedule where we can regularly play it.
Yeah. Now, I will say another game that I was surprised they're finally fully releasing. They announced Grounded, and they're going to have the full single player, well, co-op mode, technically.
Yeah.
Because did you play any of the story on Grounded?
Yeah, but like there wasn't really much to it.
No, you get in there with the big scary spider of doom, and they end it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I need like a crew on there.
I'll be in playing Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Simulator.
By the way, there are so many games, too, that they announced that just have the Game Pass sticker on top of them, too. Another one that we'll be talking about later is Warhammer 40,000 Darktide. Rowdy's interested in that.
Yeah, I really like, I'm not going to say I'm a super fan, but because I'm not a big fan of just regular Warhammer, but I really like the Warhammer 40,000 series, like the whole Space Marine, but you still fight like space orcs and you wear the big, huge Space Marine armor, and that's pretty cool.
Right, so I'm just going to do this. I'm going to read everything that's actually coming out this year. Y'all get ready for this.
Oh, God.
Naraka Bladepoint, Elder Scrolls Online High Isle, As Dusk Falls.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's a Game story Pass. Game. Yeah, we already said Forza Horizon. Somerville. A Plague Tale Requiem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And that's Game Pass. Valheim is coming out this year for Game Pass. Cool. Yeah,
real quick, when Valheim first came out on PC, it had a 1 gigabyte install file. That's it.
That's not bad. Lightyear Frontier, new Fallout 76 Expeditions. Rowdy, Fallout 76 is good now. Remember?
Fallout is one of my favorite series of all time.
I apologize to Todd Howard.
Okay, I may get back into it then.
But the problem is, they need to do an update to make it 60 frames per second, not 1080p. If they put that stuff at 60 frames and 1440p, I'd be all in. But right now, it's kind of blurry.
It's dog water.
Yeah. Overwatch 2, High on Life, which that was the one that I sent Rowdy and text about.
I am super excited about High on Life, man. It looks so ridiculous. And I'm not going to go all Rick and Morty ridiculous here, but, dude, that game looks awesome.
So, High on Life, if you haven't seen it, you basically have these guns that talk to you and kind of make fun of you the whole time.
They're called the Gatlians.
The Gatlians. It's like an alien species.
Yeah, they're a species of Gats.
Yeah. Gats. it looks fun. Looks comical. It's Rick and Morty creators.
Yeah. Well, they started a game company called Squanch Games.
Squanch.
And
kind of like an onomatopoeia for a game company.
And I was watching their, it was kind of like the interview with like Justin Roiland and a couple of developers. And, you know, they were talking about stuff they were trying to work into the game and how, you know, it's not a AAA game. But they said they are going to call it a triple I game because it's independent.
Ah, triple I.
But, and they were talking about one of the main things they're trying to work into the game is like jokes from where people like try to break the game or like try to get to places where they're not supposed to go. Apparently, your gun will make fun of you for something like that.
Nice.
So, we'll see.
It could get really annoying really fast, too. I could see if you have looping audio, I would go nuts. Next one, Atomic Heart. I think that's an indie RPG that people are excited about.
Think a mixture of Fallout and Chernobyl.
Yeah. It's coming to Game Pass, so if it's good or bad, I'm still playing it. Gunfire Reborn, whatever. For all you weebs out there.
Oh, God.
Persona 5 Royal is coming.
Not only Persona 5 Royal.
It's like a bunch of Persona.
There's like Persona 3, Persona 4, and Persona 5.
I can't get into it, man. I can't do it.
Look, let me just tell you that the average playthrough of Persona 5 is 100 hours.
No. no.
And Persona 5 Royal, I don't know how they pronounce
well, aren't
it.
You like trying to be like a high schooler or something?
You're a high schooler by day and a I don't want to say like superhero, but you fight evil at night.
I can't do games like that. Too close to education. No, thank you. Too real.
Too real.
Okay, so next up, Scorn, which
I'm out.
It's supposed to look like a whoever the artist was for Alien movies.
Geiger?
Geiger, yeah. It's like a love letter to Geiger, which you don't want a love letter from Geiger.
No.
No, you don't.
It'll implant a little hell spawn in your chest that bursts out later.
It's going to be a horror game with guns. We'll see. I am interested in the next one, though. Pentiment. It's made by Obsidian. And it's done in a style that's like illuminated manuscript. It's super heavy on words. I think they're trying to do a Disco Elysium. I know, it's super heavy. There's so much dialogue in the game. I couldn't think of a better way to say it. Guys, I'm rusty. I haven't done a podcast in 4 freaking months. 6 months. Oh, it's been a while. So, words. There's a lot of them in this game. It's supposed to be an RPG that is low on fighting, heavy on dialogue, in a sense like Disco Elysium, which I have not played yet. I need to, but it's like, I don't know. Next up, Halo Infinite Season 3, don't really care. Flight Simulator has new stuff. Party Animals? Don't know. A Party Animal, Slime Rancher 2, Hello Neighbor 2, and the Callisto Protocol, which a lot of people are excited about.
I am going to play the Callisto Protocol.
It's like a horror game in the vein of
Dead Space. So it's actually people who helped create the original Dead Space at this studio. Because EA is working on a Dead Space remake.
Oh.
Because, you know, EA has got to pump the last bit of money out of everything.
Yeah, Dead Space with microtransactions. Wow. All right, so that is all coming out this year. Okay, that's a pretty good list, and the vast majority of that was on Game Pass. Now, next year in 2023, we got some good stuff. First of all, I know I'm about to dog on Blizzard and Diablo. Sword! It's going to be immortal.
Slam
immortal?
Dunk.
Immortal, I don't know. But either way, Diablo 4 looks fantastic. I'm going to talk more about it in the games I'm hyped about section in a little bit. So get ready. Also, Redfall.
It looks awesome.
It looks cool. It looks fun. It's a four-player. You're hunting vampires. I was about to say zombies. They're all the same in my head. Vampires, zombies, and pirates. Just whatever. But it looks fun. A vampire
zombie pirate game would be awesome.
Yeah. It's made by Arkane. It'll be a good time. Next up, Starfield, which I'll talk about a little bit more in the games we're hyped about section, because I'm hyped about Starfield. I want to be more hyped, but I don't think that's safe yet.
They didn't show enough to be super hyped.
And honestly, most of what they showed, the color palette was kind of bland. But, you know, I like color.
Let me push my glasses up farther on my nose. Yes.
Somebody's probably thinking, he called Violet purple earlier. He doesn't know colors. All right, next up. Is this a game you're interested in? Forza Motorsport.
Okay, so you know what the difference between Forza Motorsport and Forza Horizon is?
One's on a track, one I get to ride off a freaking volcano into an airplane.
Exactly.
Yeah, which one am I more excited about? Take a guess.
So Forza Motorsport is more for people who just like racing, because you'll be on like actual racetracks from around the world. And then you could also do like Formula One cars and stuff like that. You could also race like regular cars like you have on Forza Horizon. It's just that this one, like I said, it's all track-based. There's no open world aspect to it. And what's surprising is this one's just called Forza Motorsport. Because there's been 6 Forza Motorsports. Yeah. So the fact that this one is just called Forza Motorsport, it's kind of weird, but I think I know why.
Why?
Because if you go on the Xbox store, you cannot buy any Forza Motorsport.
Oh.
They did not re-up contracts, therefore quit selling the game.
So contracts for the car likenesses or music or both?
They didn't re-up licenses. Gotcha. There we go.
That's dumb, though.
Licenses for the cars, licenses for the racetracks. So I bet this one will be like an ever-expanding, just continuing Forza Motorsport.
Yeah.
I bet that's why it's like that.
So do you know anything about this next one, Minecraft Legends?
It's,
Minecraft Legends.
It's, I mean,
from it looks like Dragon Warrior Minecraft ripoff, whatever it's called.
But, I mean, there's not really the RPG aspect. There's not the turn-based aspect of it, like from Dragon Quest, but like,
well, did you play that Dragon Quest Builders game?
Oh yeah, no, not Builders.
Builders is actually pretty legit. This is what this reminds me of.
Gotcha.
There's no turn based in Dragon Quest Builders. You go around. You're basically, the premise of Dragon Quest Builders is you are the only person who can freaking read and build things.
It's like Idiocracy.
Yeah. It's like starting college nowadays. Anyway, man, nobody can build things anymore. So, Minecraft Legends, I'll see. I think the team that is working with Minecraft is doing some cool things. I did like Minecraft Dungeons.
Baby's First Diablo.
Baby's First Diablo is actually pretty fun.
I really liked it.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know what this next one is. Aura History Untold. We'll not tell anybody about it. Woe Long Fallen Destiny. Dynasty, not Destiny. It looks, if I remember, it is another Soulsborne Ring Elden thing.
Okay.
Stalker 2. We'll see if it actually comes out this year. You know, the developers are in Ukraine.
Yep.
We'll see how that goes. Flintlock is another Soulsborne looking style game, but this one you have pistols.
Okay.
So looks kind of fun. A Yuden Chronicle 100 Heroes will probably be right up Rowdy's alley. I think it's a warrior style game.
Oh
yeah.
I love warrior style games. I think they call them Musou or Musuo. Whatever. Mushin. I don't know how to pronounce it.
League of Legends is coming to Game Pass.
Womp womp.
But the thing that's interesting about this is same thing with Valorant. They give you all the DLC characters.
Womp. So
if you're into womping, I mean, playing League of Legends and Valorant, you are going to be all about that. What the heck is this? What is that? There's the next one I'm looking at. Do you see the
Team Fight Tactics?
Explain to me what you think that is.
I have no idea, but this looks like a penguin with a crazy crown
like
a
Street
on it.
Fighter, not Street Fighter, like a Power Rangers penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Legends of Runeterra. Don't know what that is. Ark 2.
Could be interesting.
It sounds more interesting the more I hear about it. I played Ark. I had a rough time. I tried to create a Dodo army.
Yeah, that doesn't really work.
Dodo army died.
Yeah.
Bernice.
Ark 2, like...
Bob. John. John the Baptist. Bert and Ernie. So many more that died. I could just keep going. But anyway, my Dodo army died, Rowdy, is what I'm trying to get across to you. And this one looks interesting because it's not first person. It's only third person, and they're trying to do Elden Ring mechanics. I'm a little afraid they're going to jump the shark on this, though.
So I'm going to have to sit back and wait for a little bit on this one, see how it is. It's starring my favorite actor ever, and by... My favorite actor ever. I mean, like, I can't stand this dude.
Oh, yeah.
Stars Vin Diesel. Like, get out of here.
Diesel is getting paid a lot of money for this.
Like, what are you going to do? Soup up a T-Rex and Fast and the Furious that thing around the place?
I would buy that. So this is going to be on Game Pass. Ark 2 is. I think they're really trying to go somewhere between Conan Exiles and Elden Ring is where they're going with it. Could work out. Could be terrible.
We'll see. It'll definitely bring in a lot of the people who played the original Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Because the original Ark, I mean, if you have friends that could play and you have your own server and everything, it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like I've watched
until a countless, cyber raptor kills you in your sleep.
I've watched countless videos on Ark, but I cannot play it.
It's not very good for consoles. I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
It's tough to play. It's confusing. And they did say specifically that they're working on controls for console for this. Rowdy, why? Why is this next game on this? This was released forever ago.
Bruh. Let me tell you about this.
What is this?
This is the Resident Evil 4 remake.
Okay. Didn't they already do that?
No. So, Resident Evil 4 has basically been on every single console from the ColecoVision to the...
the ColecoVision?
Yeah, the ColecoVision onward through, now? Like, the Xbox 720p and the PlayStation 8.
Wow.
It's been on all those systems. I mean, they just recently released VR versions of it for like Oculus and stuff like that, which has gotten pretty good reviews from what I've seen. I mean, for a VR game.
Yeah.
But this is the remake. The ground up remake, like they did for Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3. This looks awesome. I cannot wait. Resident Evil 4 is the only game that I tried speedrunning ever.
Is this the one that was on the GameCube?
Yes.
And it was the first one that started controlling normally?
Yes.
Okay.
So this one, it was like, it was a Nintendo exclusive at first.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't sell much.
Oh, yeah, because so, it was on the game. No, was it the 60? No, GameCube.
Yeah, it was on GameCube. Yeah. So Capcom was like, sorry, bros. We got to put it on other systems and actually sell it.
Bruh mode.
So they put it on PS2, had all this extra stuff. Well, then apparently the superior version was the Wii version. You know, when they put it on there, because it had all the DLC and everything from the, well, I guess technically it wasn't DLC when it was on PlayStation 2, because you didn't really have DLC at that time. Yeah, so they moved it over to the Wii, and apparently it was the far superior version. But yeah, so this version will now be the superior version, and I cannot wait to play it. People will not hear from me for probably a week.
So I feel like everything else on this list just kind of drops off, except for Dead Space. They're announcing Dead Space. We'll see if it's really next year.
The remake from EA.
Yeah, see, replaced Erebon Shadow Legacy. Whatever. Ravenlock, I think that's already on PC. The Last Case of Benedict Fox. And Cocoon. So that's a pretty big list of stuff coming to Xbox within the next year. And I'd say over half of that, maybe three quarters of that, is on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a good bit of it here. It has the Game Pass label on it that we just read.
Yeah, even if it's a hunk of garbage, the whole list, you'll at least get it for $15 a month. Or, well, 10 if you're only playing Xbox games.
That's true.
All right, Rowdy, do you want to explain to me what the heck is going on with The Last of Us?
All right, so, Last of Us?
Yeah, is it The Last?
It's not a remastered.
Okay.
It is a from the ground up remake, so that it will control like The Last of Us 2. Now, pretty much all they've released is a trailer that compares some of the cinematics from this one compared to the original. But I don't know. We'll have to see like how much they actually redid, because there's not really much gameplay of it out right now. Hell, that one trailer that they did have was actually leaked. And then they had to go, oh, okay, well, we'll go ahead and we'll show it now. But no, I'm super excited about that, because I freaking love the Last of Us series. Last of Us 1 is such an amazing tale. It's one of those few games that at the end of it, you're like, you know what? I don't feel so good. I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark.
Morally. So, let me ask you, would you rather they make this or take another 2 years to just put out a new game and just go full steam?
Well, here's the deal. I don't know if we'll ever get another
Last of Us. I haven't played Last of Us games, so I don't know what's in it.
Well, there was such a stink behind The Last of Us 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, just right before The Last of Us 2 came out, the whole game was leaked. Like,
yeah.
Like the whole story, everything about it. So people read it and were very mad about it.
Well, they also killed off like a protagonist. I'm not going to say who.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, I mean, you ruined it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's only a couple protagonists in the game.
Well, either way, it's been ruined for so long now.
Basically. So it got ruined for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then everybody was like, oh, it's being too political. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bruh, it's a video game. I just said bruh again.
Rowdy's all up in the bruh.
It's a video game. Like, it's a story that, like, it's, and it's such a good story. Again, Last of Us 2, get to the end of it. And, you know, I kind of felt awful again, like I did at the end of Last of Us 1. It's not a cheery, happy game. It's very real.
You know, I guess there's a place for some people that don't want to force themselves to feel like garbage at the end of something too.
Well, yeah, so don't play it.
Said for that, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, like, that's what I always say.
If that's not you, then don't go for it.
I mean, there are so many games out there that I know I talk a lot of trash on, and a lot of it's just basically trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, when it comes to Soulsborne games, I just don't play them.
Except I made Rowdy play one today. We'll talk about it in a little bit.
And I mean, and if it's not your thing, don't play it.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as The Last of Us 3, I hope they make another one because I love that series. But we'll see. Oh, and The Last of Us is coming to HBO.
Okay.
They're making
that would make sense.
They're making a series for it.
And to me, whenever you have such a story that I think is not necessarily controversial, but could be, I don't know, like you're saying, makes you feel bad. Passively, I think that makes a lot of sense for people to watch rather than feel like they're directly in it.
Oh,
I know, like me, I don't like being the bad guy in games.
So that's the funny thing about Last of Us. Because, all right, so yes, they kill off a protagonist.
Protagonist.
But when you play as another character in Last of Us 2,
that's right,
it kind of makes sense why they wanted this to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you start seeing it from this other side, and you're like, oh, maybe they aren't so good.
They play around with a lot of moral equivalency, or ambivalence is probably a better term.
And that's why, like, so Last of Us 1, like I said, like, it's you feel kind of good at the end of it, but at the same time, you're like, man, there's a, they could have, you know, taken this other path, and it would have helped humanity.
Could have.
But could've, it doesn't help humanity. And
now we're selling fungus coffee on Facebook and turning into zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the time Last of Us 2 came out, there was that Cordyceps coffee coming out. This is how Last of Us started.
This is how it happens. Stay away from the Facebook coffee. All right.
But yeah, I'm going to play it. I really like The Last of Us. I hope it sells a whole lot. There's also supposed to be a Last of Us Factions is coming out. It's like their multiplayer kind of arena shooter type thing.
Yeah.
Where everything controls just like The Last of Us, but you just play as different characters and you try and take people out on the map. Apparently, like, I never played the original one, the original Last of Us Factions, but
sounds like Last of Us Warriors.
I mean, like,
Ryan would play that.
Apparently, it was popular enough that they're gonna make another one.
Huh.
But so the next bit of PS5 news that I have. Hey, did we put the Final Fantasy stuff later on, or is it right here?
Are you hyped about it, or do you want to talk about it now?
I'll talk about it now.
Talk about it now, because
it's going to be a while before any of this comes out.
Yeah.
So as a lot of people know, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake came out in 2020, I think. And then when you get to the end of it, you're like, okay, well, that was like a third maybe of the game. And so they were like, well, that's just the first part. And that has now been labeled the Intergrade Arc.
Ooh.
So now when you buy Final Fantasy VII Remake, it's now called Final Fantasy VII Intergrade. So there is a, let's see here. So when Final Fantasy VII came out, there was also another game that came out, I want to say on the PSP, maybe? It was called Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII. It's a little side story, involved a guy named Zack, who apparently fought along. Well, I'm not going to get all into that.
I don't know. But, I can't help you.
So, apparently they're calling this a remaster. I thought it was a remake. But yeah, they're showing, like, this website I have pulled up, they're showing, like, side-by-sides. So, sure, remake. But it's going to be called Final Fantasy VII Reunion. Now, that's a side story. And that comes out this winter. Next winter, the second part of the Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out. It's going to be called Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And the thing is about this new Final Fantasy is they're kind of taking liberties with telling the story. Like, it's almost a reimagining, I guess you could say. Because in Final Fantasy VII, everybody knows that one of the main characters dies. It's one of the most awful deaths. Well, not the death itself, but the fact that this character died.
Yeah.
Everybody in gaming knows it. And I never even played the original Final Fantasy VII beyond like the first couple boss fights. and I know what happened. Well, they're starting to allude it. Is it going to happen or is it not going to happen in the next one? So that might be why it's going to be called Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
I have no clue, Rowdy.
Just know that apparently the Final Fantasy VII remakes are going to be a trilogy. So we're technically getting four games out of it, though, because one of them is a side story.
Milk those games for all that they can.
Well, I mean,
It plays completely different, though, right?
Yeah, it does play different. So it's more like the Final Fantasy 15 battle system.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely more fluid and stuff like that. And it's really cool to see like the remade levels and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and how the story looks and unfolds. But man, they're already making enough money with Final Fantasy 14 that like. I bet Final Fantasy 14 money is what's paying for this.
Final Fantasy 14 is that MMO, right?
Oh, yeah.
That everybody pretty much jump shipped from World of Warcraft to.
Yeah, it had a huge resurgence out of nowhere. Yeah. And like that was like the comeback story of the year.
Everybody was mad at Activision Blizzard for all sorts of terrible things that team was doing.
Well, Final Fantasy 14, like when it first came out, it was awful. Absolutely awful. Everybody hated it. So they went back and basically just remade the game. It was like, hey, here's the deal. We're sorry. Here is Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. Everything that happened before this, it exploded. It's done for. So nice. They've been playing that. And then since then, you know, it started having a bigger fan base. And then out of nowhere, like it just blew up years after the release. Something
because they lost a lot of money.
Well, they sold off all those projects. Avengers. They sold off all those projects.
Yeah.
They sold Crystal Dynamics.
So
like the Avengers franchise, the Tomb Raider franchise, basically their Western games have all been sold off for dirt cheap, like $300,000.
Ooh,
yeah, they were basically just like, nope, you can have them.
Wow,
get it out of here.
That's cheap. That's almost as much as three fully leveled characters in the next game we're going to be talking about.
Oh!
Well, you ready for the next one?
Let's do this.
All right, guys. After the break, we're going to have a segment where we read a whole bunch of terrible reviews for Diablo Immortal.
Lamer Gamers present the segment where we talk about terrible reviews. This is Lamer Gamers Review!
Alright guys, let's go ahead and get this started. So, if you have not heard, and if you don't have a cell phone, you might not know about this.
Oh.
Don't you guys have cell phones? Diablo Immortal was released by Blizzard and NetEase on mobile and beta on PC, and it has a Metascore by the critics, who are probably heavily paid, of a 60, but the user score with 3,933 ratings is point. We're not even getting a regular digit before we get to the point. There's a zero in front of the point. It's 0.3. This is the worst rated Blizzard game
in the history of ever.
Ever.
So real quick, I want to point out that Metascore is only from 8 critic reviews.
It is, because so nobody wants to play
I've never seen a critic review with that low of a count. I mean, other than like indie games that nobody's ever heard of.
So first off, a lot of it is because right now there is a giant dog pile of everybody saying this game is garbage, and rightfully so. Unfortunately, there is a mildly coherent video game under there that plays a lot like Diablo 3 on mobile. And I will say, Rowdy convinced me to download this and play this. It plays better on mobile than it does on PC. I actually think the mobile controls are decent. I had no issues with them. It was easy to control. The game looks like Diablo 3, just a little bit more cleaned up. But it plays like garbage on PC. And I tried to play it with my Surface tablet on Windows, and that wouldn't work. It doesn't work with touch controls. And
no touchy-touchy.
Yeah. And if you play with a controller, just forget it. Just forget it. Don't even try. So Diablo Immortal is a game that has become very popular because there have been many streamers online that have been trying to get into the post-game stuff, right? You have your campaign. If you ever played a Diablo game, there's a campaign. You can play through the campaign, not spend any money, really. But then that's where they start getting these gates of hell. I mean, gates of microtransactions.
Diablo Immortal, more like Diablo Immoral.
Yes. So you can play through the main game, but that's where they start hunting for whales. To get beyond that, you have to spend money to go up and get XP, to get better equipment, to get gems, which the gems in this game are damage multipliers or whatever. And that's where they really get you, is to get a level 5 gem. There have been people that have spent anywhere from 25,000 to $100,000 to get it. There have been streamers that have somehow gotten that much money to do that. And that's insane. There should be no game that requires that. I see Rowdy is pulling up something right now.
I've never played Diablo Immortal. I'm about to start playing it.
Oh, Rowdy's about to start playing it. Let's see how long
he
can throw.
Oh, my God. Another update file? I thought I downloaded everything.
You have... Yeah. So the beginning of this requires...
Oh, nope. There we go.
Downloading. You have at least 1.6 gigabytes, I would imagine, that you have to download.
Oh, it was a lot for a phone game.
It has the base, pretty much the same kind of characters you would have in Diablo 3. But that's really all I got to say about it. Controls decent. It's playable. Rowdy, have you gotten to it? Have you tapped enough? Have you tapped the devil?
I don't think I have a BattleNet account.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Rowdy's playing this right now.
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. This game has been review bomb. That is whenever you put a 0 on a review. And I have gone through and found just some lovely reviews. And we're going to read through some of these review bombs for you. You want to go ahead and start us off with Wiggles?
Wiggles states, this game is just a joke. I don't want to know how many kids ruined the wallets of their parents.
Right? Now, honestly, there's probably no kids. Well, there are probably some kids that are playing this, but I can definitely see some like 30-year-olds living in somebody's basement taking their parents' money to play this. I could see that. Half of Reddit. Oh, gosh. Somebody's mad at me. Next one. By the way, this is the one I need like a Russian anthem for or something.
Russian music.
Yes, this is by Jakrem. Pure exploitation. A stark reminder of the excesses of greed, manipulation, and the act of putting profit for few over the many. Yes.
They do not even provide borscht.
No borscht. All right. Do you want to get the next 0 review?
All right. Weeded Vagabond.
Weeded Vagabond.
Man, some of these.
This is not gluten-free. I'm sorry. We said there'd be gluten-free, but there is wheat.
Man, this is... Ooh, okay. This game murdered my pets and demanded I continue to pay in vain hopes of getting them back in gem form. Ooh. From what I've seen, the ransom is going to burn over $10,000 just to get one back. I have 5.
Five
Blizzard,
bucks.
I will never forgive you.
Oh, man. Yeah, if you have pets and you don't want them stolen by Blizzard, don't play this game.
Also, no borscht.
No borscht. No borscht and no pets. All right. So this next one is from the mayor of Bonetown. That's obviously a necromancer level
yes.
in this game.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what they meant.
Hey, kids, do you like unimaginative copy-pasted predatory swill? Look no further. It's got everything you loved about the previous Diablo game, such as a bottomless hole for you to throw your money into and possibly more. This game seems to have been, quote-unquote, built from the ground up with the express engineering intent to make you forget who you really are and what you really want from living your own life.
So open up your wallets.
Oh, yeah, and that's... Do you guys... You guys have wallets, right?
Oh!
You guys have wallets, right?
Let's see. Is this Livion? Livion?
Livion.
Livion states, this is by far the biggest excrement that came out of Lizard's bottom.
Oh, Blizzards. I get what they're doing there. Got rid of the B.
Repurpose Diablo 3 to drain your whole monthly salary. Daddy needs a new yacht, boys. Better pay up. Despicable.
Honestly, if you're making $25,000 a month, I want your salary.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah.
Livion, what are you doing? All right, so this next one I find very interesting. Zyzalol. They have broken down and they simplified this game for you. See, there is a tier list of loot. Okay, so the lowest tier is Discover Card.
Because it's not accepted everywhere.
Yeah, so after that, the next tier of loot, which I'd imagine like maybe has like kind of a silverish tinge to it, Visa. The list above that. Now, I don't know about this. MasterCard? Is MasterCard above Visa in a tier list?
They're kind of same.
What limits can you get on a MasterCard versus Visa? I feel like Visa would be higher.
I don't know. I think I've got the highest on my Visas.
Okay, yeah. You can get your parents' Visa card and buy things with, if you want third tier. But for the highest, the best equipment, American Express only.
Not only American Express, but that American Express Black Card. The one that makes noises whenever you drop it, like this.
Oh, snap. Rowdy's throwing things around. Yeah, yeah. Rowdy just bought, like, a helmet that gives him... It was a random roll, so it probably gives you, like, bonus to some tornado stuff.
It gives me negative. It gives me negative one to speed.
Oh, dang. All right, I got one for you. Now, Rowdy, you gotta soften this one up a little bit.
So I'm about to read this a little slower so that I don't slip up.
Yeah.
All right.
Trody. Rowdy's got to get in theme.
Deep breath, deep breath. All right, here we go. There is pay to win, which sucks out.
Sucks.
Oh, which sucks. And then there is dog doo-doo.
Oh, he fixed it. That's not what it said.
There is this dog doo-doo game that takes it to a clown level and exists in its own league. Blizzard does not give one dehydrated flip.
Flip, good catch.
About its reputation anymore.
I love that it's dehydrated.
Well, yeah, dude. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm not going to go into that. It doesn't care about its franchise, or it doesn't care. Its franchises doesn't. Oh my God, I can't read this.
Okay. Yeah. Ugh.
It doesn't care. Its franchises doesn't care about players. Wow. It created this casino to target children and addicts to generate max profit for the least possible cost. And it's abhorrent how blatant these they are in their cash grab disguised as a game. The game is morally bankrupt in the extreme. On every level, it was specifically and methodically designed to attack the user's psyche and exploit the weaknesses of their brains to trick you into spending money. The creators of this gambling app have harnessed years and terabytes of data about how people spend money on gacha games to ensure profits are sky high and the illusion of enjoyment is created and maintained. This is disgusting. Beyond parody, and it is illegal in several countries to take gambling that take gambling addiction seriously. This is not a game. This is a casino machine with a very bad game costume.
Now, I will say this. I've been to casinos. I have traveled across the bog to Louisiana. I'm not very happy with Louisiana lately. I love you people in Louisiana. But
your roads are terrible.
Oh, my gosh. You can't get out of Louisiana without it feeling like it's trying to suck you back in or break your windshield while you're driving on I-10. But anyway,
Yo, Sal, you ain't going nowhere.
Oh, no. So, if you play at casinos nowadays, slot games are really just video games that they program with a minuscule chance of winning. But it is not under the guise of being anything but something that's going to swindle your money.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, will we ever see, like, it'd be great to see, like, the gambling hotline help stuff on certain video games that have this.
Dude.
I wonder if they'd ever have that.
The microtransaction helpline?
The microtransaction helpline. They probably need it, though, man.
Do you have microtransaction addiction?
Possibly.
Call now.
I'm curious. I doubt states will ever step in on this. This doesn't seem like anything you'd see a state step in on. But I know in places, I think Denmark doesn't allow certain loot box chances. There are some countries that won't even allow these games to be put in.
I want to say it's Poland and Belgium?
Yeah.
Belgium for sure.
Yeah, wherever you are, good job, guys. You're not losing any money. All right, so this is going to be tough. This next one, Rowdy?
Oh, no.
Hessexit? Even their name's tough to say.
Yep. It's probably pronounced Bob.
It's pronounced Bob. Bob says, let's get one thing straight. I buy mobile stuff.
Four apostrophes.
With waifus. What?
I mean, I'm sorry.
They buy stuff.
Four asterisks. Waifus.
At least with them, I get to enjoy some cute art.
Yeah.
This is not an easy one to read. Why did I put this one on here? In Diablo Immortal, they hit you like a...
Unlicensed street pharmacist.
Unlicensed street pharmacist. I like that one. 85 cents here. 125 here. Reached hell difficulty. Boom. $169.99. Reached the end of the game. $25 per rift, boys. Drops to unique items. No play to win rift. Zero uniques, killed an act boss. Congratulations, you unlocked act one cash shop box for $99. I wonder how much of this is real and how much this got made up. Because $25 a rift, I seem to remember them saying you had to pay for rifts to get good stuff, which ticks me off. Like,
ugh. I wonder, man.
Yeah. There's a dungeon filled with treasure chests, but you can't open any without paying. Oh, no. That is a bra moment. The development team did a good job. The game runs smooth. That's kind of what I was seeing at the beginning. Too bad all their hard work was destroyed by predatory monetization. Absolutely disgusting. The only hope we have for future Blizzard games is that this game is such a huge monetary success in China, maybe they will produce non-pay-to-win good games because they use this to milk people. That made no sense.
Yeah.
They only hope that it makes a lot of money in China. No, we want this game to just collapse and they spend no money on it and they waste more money on servers.
Yeah, but it's making a lot of money because, like we said earlier, there are videos of... I've seen a video of a streamer drop $4,000. $4,000 trying to get, you know, unique stuff.
It's like the Streisand effect, where you've said so many bad things about it, people are interested. But streamers are also, like, they want to do stupid things, and they're probably using credit cards to pay for some of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sure some streamers out there actually have the money. But
oh, yeah.
It's probably a portion of them that are thinking they're going to make money back from spending $1,000.
I mean, I'm sure it's streamers that already make tons of money.
Yeah.
You know, the ones who are, you know, actually making, you know, $25,000 a month.
Yeah. All right. So, Rowdy, I need you to rap on this one.
So I'm not going to rap.
Dang it.
But I will go ahead and read this one, basically how it's written. Money, money, money. Loot box, loot box, loot box. Grind, grind, grind. Waste of your time and money. Do not play this absolute garbage of a microtransaction game. It is a huge pile of super smelly donkey poop. This is not a Diablo game.
I'm sorry. Tis is not a Diablo game. It got
my bad. Tis is not a Diablo game. I didn't have to edit any of that. They actually wrote it that way.
Yeah. Money, money, money. Yeah. I feel like this next one needs sad music.
Mo money, mo loot.
But yeah, here we go. This is by Arturpt. I installed. I enjoyed a lot. Then I find out that it's heavily pay to win. I cried alone in the dark in disbelief. I then uninstalled the game and made sure to come on Metacritic just to say this.
I love Metacritic.
That person probably didn't play this game.
I love Metacritic.
Honestly, though, to be honest, Metacritic reviews are nothing compared to Xbox reviews. There is such a glorious mound of garbage on Xbox zero star reviews. I wish this had an Xbox version because most of the funny stuff is there. I think because there's probably like no moderation there. This one you see people at least like try to hide things. But
so one thing that's funny about those Xbox reviews though is you could plug a keyboard into an Xbox and like write reviews. But I wonder how many of these people actually typed out all of that stuff with just a controller. Think about that one for a minute. Mm. Blow your mind.
All right, you want to finish this one out with our last zero-star review?
Yeah, let's see here. Blizzard Entertainment is dead to me. The game is extremely pay-to-win. A perfect example of this is that it costs close to $100,000... or 80,000 pounds, or 93,500 euros, to fully equip and gear just one high-level character for the in-game content. And that's only if said player has scored enough high-quality gems via the in-game gambling mechanic. This is impossible, even over a vast amount of years via free-to-play due to certain gems being withheld from the players. Thank you for the memories, 1997 to 2014.
Yeah, I felt like that was a good eulogy for Blizzard. And I think, though, we are going to probably see this game. It's putting a really bad mark on them, but I think the fact that they're getting bought by Microsoft, a lot of people, by the time Diablo 4 gives out, are going to forgive them. Because if you're looking at Diablo 4, and I'll talk about it in a minute because I'm hyped about it, Rowdy. I think it's a whole different game, literally, because it's made by Blizzard and Activision, but you don't have the money-sucking NetEase in there.
Well, I mean, Diablo 3 didn't really have that, did it?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
I think it's the main developer more than anything, and it's them trying to get into China, which a lot of people do. They make microtransactions that really affect more, not so much the Chinese people, but they go after the whales in Korea. There are a massive amount of people. If you don't, whales mean it's people that spend tens of thousands of dollars on these games.
South Korea, not North Korea. Yeah.
Not North Korea. Oh, no. So in South Korea, and other places where they are looking to make a large amount of money off these people. Anyway, that is it. We're going to be coming back here in just a minute since I'm done with talking about garbage games. Let's talk about getting hyped. Ready, Rowdy?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Lamer Gamers present.
1, 2, 3, 4.
The Hype Segment.
Feel hyped, Rowdy?
I feel pumped.
Good. What are you hyped about coming down the line?
Mr. Torg is ready to... No, I'm not going to go there. He curses too much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's not curse. All right. What are you ready to play? What are you excited about coming out?
Okay. So from the list of things that we saw, I tried to only go from things that are coming out this year. But from that list for Game Pass, I'm really hyped about Warhammer 40,000 Darktide. If you played Warhammer Vermintide, it's basically the same thing, just the Space Marines now. So it takes place in space, and you're going to be fighting, you know, the space enemies. I don't think there are any orcs in it.
Space
like
orcs.
There normally are, which would be cool. But yeah, like, I'm super hyped about it because I really like the Warhammer 40,000 mythology. I don't know if you know this, but, like, there's, like, a bunch of different factions, and they follow, like, different emperors and all this stuff, and like the main emperor, like everybody will do anything for him, and it's really crazy.
I need to do more Warhammer. It's just, I feel like most of the games they release are garbage.
they do put them out very fast.
Yeah.
Like, I could remember, like, 1 week, like, Humble Bundle was like, play these Warhammer games. And I looked at, like, how close they were released. I mean, we're talking, like, each of them are, like, months apart. Like, one a quarter, they're releasing these games, man. And they do, like, RTSs, FPSs. I was trying to think of some more abbreviations, but...
Yeah.
I could only name two.
MMORPGs is...
I'm not fast enough for that.
MOBAs.
But beyond that, I am very excited about the Outriders expansion.
He made me download Outriders again.
It's called Outriders World Slayer. And Outriders was kind of a game that caught me by surprise. When it came out last year, it just got... I mean, I just heard so many people talking awful about it and just all these videos of it just being a terrible game. I didn't really look at any reviews because I just kind of brushed it off and I was like, oh, well, it's, you know, a Destiny clone or it's a, you know, a looter shooter, you know, Borderlands clone type thing. Well, I downloaded it on Game Pass and I've put almost 72 hours into it now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And there were some major issues with it at first. That's why I stopped playing is because we actually had a small group playing and then everybody lost all their loot. That happened also, though, in Tiny Tina's Wonderlands,
mm-hmm.
where we just had a bunch of people lose loot and everybody kind of stopped playing because nothing like spending a good 70 hours in a game and then losing everything you've worked for.
Yeah.
It's like the stock market. So.
But no, I'm super excited about that expansion. Like, it looks, they're adding all this crazy looking armor and stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, there's going to be like new powers that you can have. Of course, tons of new loot. Now, I will say that the base game is still a little janky. It's not near as bad as from what I've heard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm super excited about it.
I enjoyed it. So I just need to get back into it.
But the game that I am most hyped for,
oh yeah,
is a Switch title. I cannot wait to play Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes.
Oh wow, that's more than one or two.
Do what? Oh yeah, yeah.
Three Hopes.
It's Three Hopes.
Ooh.
So like, I don't know if anybody's been listening to this podcast long enough to know that Fire Emblem's Fire Emblem Three Houses. Was my game of the year that year. It's one of my favorite games of all time. Like, I put 120 plus hours into that game. It was ridiculous how much I played it. So this is basically the Fire Emblem Warriors adaptation of it. But from what I've played in the demo, you can play the full prologue. And I kind of don't want to play any more of it because... When it comes out, I don't want to play all this prologue and then be like, I have to play the game. I have to play it. Because there's stuff that's happened in this prologue that looks like it might be a retelling, a reimagining. Because, like, you play as a new character that wasn't in Three Houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very first enemy in the game is the character you play as in Three Houses.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't 100% know what's going to happen in this game, but again, I really like the Warriors games. I can't tell you how many hours I've put into Hyrule Warriors and Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity?
Yes.
I think is what the second one was
Calamitous.
Called.
Calamitous. It's Calamitous.
I loved those games. And then the original Fire Emblem Warriors was great as well. The Dynasty Warriors games are great. The Samurai Warrior games, I wasn't really that into because it just seemed like they didn't put as much time into it as they did the Dynasty Warriors series. But then there was also like the Warriors Orochi series, which is basically like an All-Stars version. I mean, you get characters from like DOA, Samurai Warriors, Dynasty Warriors. You had Ryu from the Ninja Gaiden series.
I thought it was Street Fighter.
Yeah, no.
I call him Ryu. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, they like I say Ryu when it comes to Street Fighter.
Speaking of, Street Fighter 6 looks cool.
No, it doesn't.
Dude, it does.
Dog water.
I'm hyped.
Dude, I haven't been hyped about Street Fighter since Street Fighter 4.
Street Fighter 6 looks cool.
Street Fighter 4 was awesome.
Anyway.
And the beginning song was amazing. But yeah, so Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, super hyped. I cannot wait. You guys might not hear from me for weeks at a time.
Possibly.
Because of this. It's going to be good. I'm super excited.
Speaking of three.
Uh-oh.
I'm excited about...
I see what you did there.
Transitions. I'm excited about Conan Exiles 3.0. It's the sorcery version. So I'm probably going to pull in who I did the Conan review with. I'll probably pull Skylar whenever I do a deep dive about this. So I'm just going to lightly tread across this one like a lizard jumping on water and run it across all scurry like. But they had it actually leaked. They have not officially announced this, if you didn't know.
But you could look at the video on YouTube.
You can go find the video for this, and it's they're adding sorcery to the game.
Ay, Dios mios.
They're reworking all the character stats. They're adding new fight styles. It's going to be controller-friendly. There's going to be new building customizations. So I'm going to talk more about this probably in the next episode. You'll see just... It'll just be hype about Conan. That's it. And it's just going to be so much hype. So expect to hear more about that. That's a teaser for that. But let's go ahead and talk about where this feels like the antithesis to what we just talked about in the review bombs.
Yeah.
Diablo 4. That's a IV. So I'm going to read what they've said about this, but they just announced the last character class in Diablo 4, which was the Necromancer. Everybody kind of expected it. They have some good classes in the game. They have a Druid, which I'm really excited to play as. But I'm excited to see that this looks nothing like Diablo Immortal, and the concept of how you play it is massively different. So I'm going to read through kind of what they've put on here and then add some more to it. So at the heart of Diablo 4 is player choice. Thankfully, it's not like the last game, which at the center of it is apparently Moby Dick, and you're a whaling and you're trying to get the great white whale.
Well, you could just call me Queequeg.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, there is no one singular way to play the game. Players will carve their own path forward, not with $100,000, shaping their destiny in a non-linear way of their choosing. This ethos, fancy words, extends to character customization, player skills, explorations of Diablo's 4 shared open world, its social systems, and of course, the end game. So it's going to be almost like an MMORPG in some ways, but with Diablo game style at its core. The character classes, whenever you played character classes in the other Diablo games, you pretty much had a character and then the whatever you picked up kind of decided how you played, especially in Diablo 3. This game, there's way more alterations with the actual characters. You can design them to look differently, but you can also choose different powers to focus on. And when you get to the end game, the Paragon levels, you can completely change the way the character plays. There's more freedom to roam. There's events that will happen randomly. And that sounds pretty cool if done right. I know I've played Destiny where there are like events that happen. There are some MMORPG kind of games that do it right. There are some that are complete, for lack of a better term, from what Rowdy said, dog water. There are some that are like that. And the one thing that I'm most excited about, which makes me have a little bit of faith.
Uh-oh.
They're doing cross play.
Nice.
And cross progression. So that means that not only do I not have to spend $25,000 to $100,000 to play this game right.
True.
I don't even have to buy the Nintendo Switch version, the Xbox version, or the PC version.
Just buy one version.
To play with all my friends. I could buy one and play with everybody in the world.
That doesn't sound very Blizzard-y.
I know. Which gives me hope. So it looks interesting. The graphics look pretty awesome, actually. So hopefully this turns out good. It comes out next year, and I'm going to plays the heck out of it. Speaking of playing the heck out of a game.
In Diablo 4, can I play as a tank?
Maybe.
No, I mean an actual Sherman tank.
That would be cool, but I don't think so, Rowdy.
Damn it.
Yeah. You had to be a metamorphosis kind of character.
Can I transmog my character?
Maybe.
Into a Sherman tank?
Maybe.
All right, I'm done.
Speaking, maybe you can transmog yourself into a tank in Starfield, because that's another game I'm hyped about. So Starfield, once again, I'm going to read a little bit of this stuff. And if you watch that giant Microsoft Bethesda Bethesda announcement, whatever.
Bethesbox
announcement. you know a bit more about this, but that's it. 25 years in the making.
It is not 25 years in the making.
Maybe we should read this as Todd Howard. 25 years in the making, Starfield introduces an entirely new frontier to explore space in 2330. This is my Todd Howard voice. I apologize. You join Constellation, the last group of space explorers seeking rare artifacts throughout the galaxy. Venture through the stars and get to know a memorable cast of characters on a quest to answer humanity's greatest question.
You know, that really sounded like...
What is out there?
Like those... What was it? It's Lars like, Ulrich and those old Napster Bad cartoons?
Fire Bad!
Fire Bad!
So, this game is interesting. It looks like Fallout had a baby with No Man's Sky in a good way. And it appears to have a significant amount of leveling customization. They don't really show a lot of it except for like quick screen transitions. But there's a lot of stuff you can do to kind of mess with your character. They also give you a kind of a glimpse into some of the planetary environments in Starfield. So I'll read through this. On the rocky moon of Crete, you'll encounter strange local wildlife and the hostile pirates of the Crimson Fleet. But this is only one of the many locations to explore. As Howard says, it's not just the planet, it's the planet of the system. And not just the system, but over 100 systems, over 100,000 planets, all over for you to visit. So that's interesting to me.
I'm going to have to come up with a Pete Hines voice.
So that's interesting to me is the main planets you go to are designed to be played, right? It's made to be where you go, and it's regular level structures. Whereas most of the 1,000 planets in the games are procedurally generated and are a lot like No Man's Sky. Even in the video, I've seen a lot of people that are comparing this game to No Man's Sky because they use the little ray gun that shoots out rocks and gets minerals in this game. Yeah, that's going to happen. But my guess is all these procedurally generated planets are really going to be XP farming. So yeah. Whenever, you know.
I was going to say, you think it might be something kind of like, well, no, because in Mass Effect 2, you basically just sent a probe to that planet. You didn't go to it. Yeah, I could see it somewhat kind of being along those lines.
Yeah, yeah. And you cannot freely, like, fly around. You pick the planet and you land there. Rowdy has something to say.
0.3 Metacritic score. Cannot fly. Yeah,
cannot fly.
Cannot pet dog.
Now, speaking of dogs, this is a Lamer Gamers podcast. You're about to hear some dogs bark. So I'm excited about this because you can either go for that more like curated experience that I think is going to feel a lot like Outer Worlds.
Or, I was going to say, this seems like a less funny Outer Worlds.
Yeah, probably. Or do what I like to do is wander around in sort of this like ADHD space opera. You know, that's what I'm hyped about, Rowdy.
I'm just basically going to crouch the whole game and sneak everything like I do in Elder Scrolls and Fallout.
Not me. I'm going to try to figure out the most magic-y style of magic spacey stuff.
Every time I play Skyrim, I'm all like, oh, I'm going to play it different this time. And the next thing you know, I'm in the Assassin's Guild and I've got, you know, everything maxed out on my bow and sneak. I'm like, wow, I really didn't play a new version this time. I didn't play a magic character like I said I was going to. I didn't play a barbarian like I said I was going to. Mm-hmm. No, I just crab walked everywhere.
I've crab walked 200 planets to get to the end. All right, well, let's go ahead and transition to the last segment, games we've been playing. Rowdy, I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a minute.
What have you been playing?
So, it's not really... I've played a whole lot of, like, little games here and there, like some of the Game Pass stuff and stuff like that. Like, there's this one called, like, Landscaper or Townscaper. I don't know if you've seen that on Game Pass. Dude, real super chill, no point system. You basically just make these town, this town that's over water. It's kind of cool. XO1. Again,
I saw you play that and I downloaded that because I saw Rowdy was playing XO1. Then I played it and it's chill.
Dude, it's crazy. Like, it's not really hard to control either. Like, and you may get frustrated because, like, oh, well, I keep ending up in this same spot. But, I mean,
it's a good end of a 60-hour work week and your brain's dead kind of game.
Exactly.
They're like, so, ooh, there's pretty colors.
I've played a lot of stuff like that. But the main games that I've been playing, let's see, Forza Horizon 5. I don't know exactly how long I've been playing it, but something popped up on the bottom of the screen that said that I've spent almost 9 hours in first place.
Dang.
So that's just for the races. That doesn't count, like, you know, the open world and, yeah, you know, how much time I spent auctioning off cars, being a sleazy used car salesman and, you know, jumping my, you know, $1 million Pagani Huayra over a river. Nice. It doesn't count all of that. All the time that I spent.
You used to drive an ambulance. How many races have you won in an ambulance?
None, actually. Dang. But I did make a couple ambulances on there. One is like British based, and then one is American based. And I thought about on the American one, I was going to put like sponsored by Jack Daniels and Marlboro. But I went ahead and did that on another car.
Gotcha.
But yeah, and then I have a 1994 Ford Supervan that's one of the fastest cars in the game. That was ridiculous. I don't know how that happened. But no, like
my mom used to drive like an Astro van, and she probably drove that 300 miles an hour.
I believe it.
Yeah, you've ridden with my mom before. I believe it.
But yeah, no, Forza Horizon 5, like, it's amazing. Like, I love it. I can't wait for the expansions to come out. I've already bought those. It's not Lego, Hot Wheels. It's Hot Wheels, the first one. Legos was the one they did for Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that a lot of. Then Outriders. Oh my God, Outriders. Like I said, almost 72 hours into it. And all it is it's a kind of janky game that tries to be Destiny and Borderlands and a looter shooter squad based type.
Square Enix.
Games.
Isn't it a Squeenix game?
It's a Squeenix game, but I think they just published it. I don't think they produced it.
Gotcha.
I need to look up who produced it. But yeah, totally excited about the expansion, like I said earlier, but I've been playing so much of this game. My wife talks about how much she doesn't like watching it.
Yeah, she let us know.
It really is not a fun game to watch. It's a fun game to play, though. But then, let's see here. Next, I just rebooted, or I just started playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla again, because... I had the season pass when it went on sale and then just never played it. So I was like, it's probably time to start playing that one again. And now I'm in Francia, or France as it is now.
Yeah, I have those DLCs and I still need to go through and play them.
I mean, bruh.
Bruh.
Rats. Rats are the hardest enemy in the game. Rats do not die. And they will keep attacking you until you start just swing your weapon wildly and they run into a grate. And then you have to put something in front of the grate so that they don't come back out. Rats.
Rats. Hey, by the way, the company that makes Outriders is People Can Fly.
People Can Fly.
They do Gears of War, man.
Weird.
Yeah. Gears of War. That would explain some of the way that it plays, too.
Well, it looks like they just did what? It's the original Gears of War. Then
Fortnite saves the world. They're everywhere, man. They're everywhere.
All over the place. Yeah. Okay.
Duty calls the calm before the storm. Yeah.
But yeah, and it's published by Squeenix. Squeenix. So yeah, it's a good one. I really like it. But again, one I've already talked about that I played the Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes demo. It's amazing so far. Of course, the Warriors game. I love the Warriors games. There's so many Warriors games. This one's going to be my favorite. Probably. I hope.
You have three hopes.
I have three hopes. Three that hopes. It will be one of my favorite games. Probably won't be a favorite game of all time. And it won't beat Fire Emblem Three Houses. But it's going to be up there.
It'll be up there. All right. I've been playing a game that I never expected that I would play. Elden Ring.
Elden Ring.
You have heard me say terrible, horrible, hurtful things about the Dark Souls and the Bloodborns, and Rowdy said horrible four-letter words about what's the game?
Sekiro.
But Elden Ring is good. Oh, it hurts. It hurts us. It hurts me so bad to say that. And the thing, it's like Dark Souls had a baby. There's all sorts of babies being everywhere. Had a child with Breath of the Wild, and I like it. I don't know.
Elden Ring makes Breath of the Wild look like Breath of the Mild.
Breath of the Mild. Except your weapons don't break every three hits.
Ugh.
Yeah. I'm currently playing as a prophet character that calls up dragons over my head with the stabby, stabby blade that does blood. It's a pretty cool thing. The magic in this game is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised at the breadth of the characters that you can create, but also the enemies you fight in this game. There are some that are like in dungeons that are like shadow monsters that zip and fly everywhere. Like it gets wild, man. There are some that are the size of the building. Sometimes they are just walking buildings. I've seen that and managed to stop it. And the best part of all, if you accidentally hurt an NPC, Rowdy, and you make them mad at you or you even kill them, all you got to do, go up. It takes a little while to get there. Probably about 20 hours in, but you can go up this long pathway and talk to the Turtle Pope. It's a turtle with the Pope hat.
Did you say Turtle Pope?
There is a Turtle Pope.
Okay.
There is a Turtle Pope, and you talk to him.
Just making sure that
you have to give him some sort of item, but he'll smooth out everything. He'll absolve you of your sins, and you'll be right as rain going back to stabbing things with friends again.
I mean, as a Turtle Pope does.
Yeah, Turtle Popes are great. Now, if you go talk to the Turtle Pope at night, he's not there. And there's some sort of shadow demon that you have to kill.
It's probably a frog. I hate frogs.
It's in armor. But the game is good. The story is... it's there.
It's an incoherent George R.R. Martin story.
It's that. And they love fingers.
Yeah. I'm going to stay away from that one.
Yeah, we're staying completely far away from that. And there's some sort of multiplayer. We've tried to do multiplayer. I've tried it with other people. It does not work very well.
I mean, isn't it supposed to just be random people? Like,
it can be, and you can get summoned to other places to help somebody out, or you can get summoned and somebody will invade your game and try to murk you. But I don't know. I haven't really gotten the multiplayer systems to work right. It involves different types of fingers, and it gets confusing.
I'm not going there.
I wish that was a joke.
I'm not going there.
Don't go there, Rowdy. Stay far, far away. So, if you haven't played Elden Ring, play it. I need to start streaming it.
Play it.
Being a magic user makes it really fun. And the best... if you need advice for this game, because you can approach it in two ways. You can approach it the normal Bloodborne, Dark Souls, Sekiro way, where you just take your head and you grab your man bun and you slam it into a wall over and over and over again until you finally win. Or you can adventure and have fun and then come back whenever you're powerful and destroy the tree sentinel and make him feel pain he's never felt before.
I started a character today.
Yeah, he did.
And I was playing as you know, as I normally play, as people know, you know, I went to the school of Leroy Jenkins school of nonsensory.
Yes.
When it comes to video games. And that's not how you play Elden Ring.
No. No. But was it the worst? Was it as bad as Sekiro yet?
No.
You got a little ways into Sekiro, though.
I probably got 4 hours into Sekiro. And when I realized that I couldn't just brute force enemies, I was just a little upset.
So I'm going to have to get Rowdy to play this game at some point more. But Elden Ring is good. I've seen some people say this is kind of like a master class of gaming. I'm not sure quite there yet, but it is visually really interesting. I wish there was story more than some people just standing around talking about how they're happy that they got their arms lopped off and attached to a spider. Or they want to.
Well, real quick, is it a masterclass in gaming or is it a masterclass in gaming?
Definitely masterclass in gaming.
Okay.
Well, I think that's it. I think that's all I got. I haven't played much, man. There's no more games.
I mean, Elden Ring will take it out of you, man.
Yeah. we were trying to come up with some sort of commercial for this. I think Rowdy has a From Software blend coffee. But I think we'll have to figure that out for a future episode, huh?
Yeah, that'll be a future episode.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with... I've been roasting coffee. That's what I've been doing.
I'll have to write some like ridiculous acoustic coffee house, Jason Mraz style stuff. I'll have to wear like a fedora or a trilby hat when I record it.
Do it.
I would hate myself.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for us. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter. We will try to bring back for the next time that we're together... bonus points, because that needs to happen.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we did that.
Bonus points, man. And I'm going to try to figure out the streaming thing and maybe do like just a news drop once a week or every 2 weeks.
Or where you play Smelden Ring.
Yeah, well, I'll play Smelden Ring, possibly. But don't forget, find us on all the podcasting things. Expect some movement again. And yeah. We're back. Hopefully. Yeah.
Somewhat.
Somewhat. Possibly. Potentially.
Permanently? Semi-permanently?
Semi-permanently. Permanence. Yes. I feel like we're doing some sort of slam poetry that's not really working real well.
No.
All right. That is it for me, Rowdy. You got anything else?
No. I was trying to think of a haiku real quick, but I'm not that good.
Yeah. That takes a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's it for us. You have a good one. We'll see you on the next. You'll hear us on the next episode of the Lamer Gamers Podcast.